All right, I want to be looking at Jude chapter 1, obviously. Well, there's only one chapter, but verse number 13. We've been looking at these verses. It talks about the characteristics or the description of the false teachers or the certain men crept in unawares. Most people, our natural human nature is to think the best of people. And sometimes that gets us in trouble because there's a lot of certain men crept in unawares today. I read this in the Sword of the Lord. Pat Robertson, we all know him. Now, I didn't realize that he apparently was a Baptist when he first got started. But, of course, he had the PTL club for a long time. And one time he was asked, now, this is from a sermon by Dr. Bruce Cummins that was preached in 1987, so that dates this. But he was asked in an interview, Dr. Pat Robertson, thank you, what he thought about alcohol. And he said, I can't say. I'm good friends with the, and he named the name of the family that owns the Coors Brewing Company. He said, I'm good friends with them, and they donate a large sum of money to my ministry. So I really can't say. Okay, certain men crept in unawares. Now, I'm not standing up as a judge of whether or not Pat Robertson is saved or lost. I honestly don't know. But I do know the man does not stand for the Word of God. Money became his God, and that's one of the characteristics of certain men. They're after the money, and they don't want to preach the Word of God. Their faithfulness and their loyalty is to their friends on earth. Our faithfulness and our loyalty always ought to be to God, whether we're behind the pulpit or we're in the chairs or the pews. And so need to be careful on that. Billy Graham, here's another name. I know that a lot of people came to Christ through his ministry. But when he was asked about alcohol, he said, I see nothing wrong with a drink now and then, as long as it's done in moderation. So Billy Graham thought it was okay. What does God say? Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever is, what's that next word? Deceived thereby is a fool. The devil will do everything he can to convince you it's okay because socially everybody does it. And I'm just leading up to the point today. But I couldn't believe it when I read those things. But that's what we're faced with. So we need to be able to identify the false teachers. The certain men crept in unawares. And again, not judging their salvation. I honestly don't know. Now, the ones that God's referring to here in the book of Jude are obviously not saved. Let's look at verse 13. We're jumping into the middle of this thought, but we spent so much time in the 12 and the first part of verse 13 that I'm not going to reread 12. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars. Now here's the part we're going to begin to look at. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? What I found amazing is that if you want to study the book of Jude and you come to this section and you scratch your head and say, what is the blackness of darkness forever? And so you go to the commentaries. Commentaries are books that are written to explain the Word of God to other people. And if you grab the commentaries, almost all of them completely ignore this phrase. So I thought, well, if everybody else is ignoring it, I'm going to spend a little time here because that means it's important. Now, that might sound like a goofy logic, but the point is it tells us a very significant truth. And so I believe it's talking about hell, and so I want to spend a few weeks looking at hell. And so we'll begin tonight, and that's just simply going to be the first point. But look what this fellow, and I have no idea who this guy is. This book was used at Tennessee Temple University back in its heyday, so I assume this fellow is very solid. He said this, the New Testament has but one good thing to say about hell. Now, if we stopped right there, you'd scratch your head and say, that's kind of surprising. Who can say anything good about hell? Well, read the rest of the comment. You probably already have. If you're like me, I would have already read it. Here's the good thing. That no one need be lost there. No one is there unless they choose to go there. No one needs to be there. They can all be saved. All right, so I want to begin by looking, when we discuss the subject of hell, from this statement, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. I want to look at the nature of retribution. And what is it like? And here he describes it as blackness of darkness. And so the first thing I want to look at is that it is a real place, not merely a state of mind. There are so many today that think the bad things that happen to us in this world are hell. And that's all hell ever is. Well, tell the rich man who's there still today suffering in these flames that it's just a figment of his imagination and that it's just the bad things happening on earth. He's been there for a couple thousand years by now. And so I'd have to differ with someone whose philosophy is that. It's a real place. It's not imaginary. It's not made up. Jesus never presented it as an imaginary place or a figment of our minds. He always presented it as a real place, just as real as Sterling Heights, Michigan. And so that's unfortunate because people really do go there and they really do suffer. We're going to look at a lot of Bible verses. We're not necessarily coming back to the book of Jude. So let's begin in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. Now, the way I usually lay these out is I just go to the beginning of the New Testament or the Bible, as the case may be. Start at the left, and you just have to keep turning to the right. And so Matthew 11:23 is the first one we come to. And there God tells us, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Now, Capernaum was where Jesus based his ministry. And that's what he means, which are exalted unto heaven. Because the Son of God was there performing miracles and teaching. And they were able to see him firsthand and hear him firsthand and see what he had done. And many of their relatives or friends had been healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And there probably wasn't a single family that was untouched by the ministry of Jesus in that whole region. They saw it at ground zero, if you might say. And so few believed him. And so Jesus says, because of their refusal to believe, they shall be brought down to hell. But what we find is a contrast between heaven and hell. And so we assume that if heaven is real, hell must be also. If hell is nothing more than the bad experiences in life, then heaven can only be the good experiences of life. They have to equal. And no one wants to think that that's all that heaven is, unless they deny anything beyond the grave because they've been taught and brainwashed into believing in humanism, that this life is all there is and we cease to exist because we're nothing more than an animal. Our lives are no better than a worm. Two worms were at a funeral. And one of them says to the other worm, "What do you mean he's in a better place? That's where he's always been, in the ground." But nevertheless, if that's all hell is, that's all heaven is. They have to equal. If heaven is a real place where we walk on the streets of gold, then hell has to be a real place that's a literal lake of fire. Okay, that's just logic. That's just common sense. And this verse tells us that they're equal one to another. Opposites, but equal opposites. If one's real, the other is as well. Matthew chapter 16. We're familiar with this passage of Scripture. This passage ought to give us a little bit of boldness. It tells us, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And here's the part that we're looking at tonight. "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So hell has gates. I think it keeps people in. Remember when some of you won't remember this because you're not old enough, but the wall that they had in Germany and the communists of the USSR said that wall is to keep people from breaking in. When everybody knew, the whole world knew, that wall was to keep people from breaking out because life was so bad in the USSR. And boy, what a celebration they had. How many of you watched that wall come down? Okay, some of us did. Younger folks don't know what I'm talking about. But that's what the USSR used to say. The wall was there to keep people in. It's kind of like at a prison. Is that wall there to keep people from coming and visiting the prisoners or to take finding a bed that's open? Good luck with that today, right? But no, that prison wall is there to keep people in. And the same with hell. But it has gates. You don't put gates on an imaginary figment of your imagination. And so what we find is hell has gates that may be attacked. And that's what we do when we go after lost souls. We're attacking the gates of hell because they're already a child of hell. We're that naturally when we refuse Christ. We're born sinners. We're born into sin with that sin nature. So when the choice is ours between good and evil, when we reach the age of accountability, what do we always choose? We choose to sin. Our fault. It's not our parents or grandparents all the way down to Adam and Eve, although they committed the first sin and then passed that sin nature to us. When we seek after souls, we're attacking those gates of hell. And God gives us the promise. Those gates shall not prevail. We have been promised victory. And we need to always remember that, because sometimes it doesn't seem like we're getting the victory. Sometimes it seems like we're tucking our tail and running. And that ought not be the case. He tells us in another place in Scripture that he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So we should be bold. And that's what God wants from us. All right, let's look at the next one, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. It's often said that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Well, hell's a prepared place as well. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Notice this, prepared for the devil and his angels. Of course, it wasn't prepared for man, and so you can't say hell is a prepared place for a prepared people, but nevertheless, hell is a prepared place that had a purpose, that has a reason for being there, and all who want to be a child of the devil follow him into their eternal reward. Now, it's not a good reward. It's a terrible reward, and any Bible believer, anyone who believes the Word of God at all, wouldn't want a single individual to suffer in that lake of fire. And that's why we grab gospel tracts and why we leave them behind and pass them out, and why we do our best to live a good testimony so people will believe if we get the opportunity to actually say the gospel to people and share it with them. And so we do that because we understand that hell is a prepared place for the devil and his angels, and there isn't a single reason for a single man to be there. It's our fault. Some people blame God, but there's no reason to blame God. He did everything he possibly could to keep folks out. All right, let's look at the next one, Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, verse number 23. The rich man in Lazarus, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And so we see the rich man was in a real place. He goes on and describes it. I'm not going to go over the whole passage here. We're fairly familiar with that. That wasn't a figment of his imagination. He was dead. If those that believe it's a figment of the imagination had their way, Lazarus would still be alive, but he's not. He's dead at this point in time. God makes that very clear in the verses that precede this. Both the rich man and Lazarus died. And for neither one of them was it the cessation of life. For neither one was it the cessation of their senses. In this passage, we can see that the rich man maintained his thoughts, his memory, had the ability to speak, has the ability to feel, to touch, to see. We saw that in this verses. He seeth Abraham afar off. He has all of his senses. Too bad he didn't have all the senses in this life and receive Christ so that he might avoid that terrible place prepared for the devil and his angels. But he's in a real place, suffering in real flames. This whole passage makes it very clear. Now, was this something that the apostles embellished and they made it up? No, Jesus is talking here. If you believe in the inspiration of the Word of God, like the Word of God tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, then you have to believe that hell is a real place because God presents it so. The rich man was in a real place. Then one last passage tonight. We'll continue this in a few weeks next time after I get back from my grandchildren tour. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 and 14. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And so we find that they were cast into a real place. You can't get cast into a figment of your imagination. And so we find it's a real place, not merely a state of mind. It's important to understand that. You know, I hate to say this about Billy Graham. You may hear it, but he denied the reality of the flame of hell. But it was later in life. He denied the certainty of heaven as well when he was later in life. I think he was suffering from dementia at that point in time. But because he stated those words that contradict the doctrine of the Bible, it made a lot of headlines and a lot of news. But there's a lot of people that deny these things. God says there's certain men crept in unawares, not teaching the truths of the Word of God, those things that God wants us to know. You know, remember what John said about what he wrote and what he said about Christ, that there aren't books enough to contain all, and I'm not quoting obviously here, but at the end of John, he says, there aren't enough books to contain the works that Jesus has done. So when God sat down and picked a few things, he was very particular about what he picked. And he chose on numerous occasions. We looked at several different verses tonight, and there's going to be a bunch more. We'll come back to some of these later as well. But when he came to tell us what he wants us to know and picked out just a few certain things, he shared about hell. It's an important topic. And God wants us to have knowledge of it. And so I hope you'll stay with this study so that we understand what's real and what men are just making up about it. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the warnings of hell that ought to frighten us. Father, ought to frighten a lost man into salvation. And so, Lord, just give us wisdom as we do this study. Help us to realize what your word teaches. Father, we're certainly glad that we don't have to go there. You've made a way of escape. And so, Lord, we're just praising you for that, but then also give us a burden for those that we know and love that we're just not sure about, and give us the boldness to share with them that they might be saved. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.